All right, you may be seated. Now, as you sit down, get your Bible out, open it up to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be taking a look at verse 1 through 13 of Matthew chapter 25. And I've entitled today's message, The Wise and the Foolish. We're going to read a parable of Jesus Christ that he spoke about a wedding and about what took place before the wedding had happened. And in it, it speaks of being wise and it speaks of being foolish. Now, I want you to realize that we're not just telling a story. Jesus didn't just tell stories. These were parables, and that really meant to throw something beside something else for a comparison. So this is an earthly story, but it has a heavenly meaning. It's got a spiritual application to our lives. And so we're going to draw some things out of the Word of God today as we go to Matthew chapter 25. And let's start it in verse number 1. It says this. It says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him.'" Verse number 7, "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.'" Verse number 10, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.'" Verse number 12, "But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" Now that's a lot to take in, and it's a lot to read, because you know what, we have this mindset. I think it's appropriate that the week after we finish the marriage series and have this mass wedding up here, that we are talking about a marriage parable from the Bible. God is speaking to us, and it's fresh in our hearts, and it's fresh in our understanding, but we have a Western mentality of weddings. See, in the Eastern tradition, in the Eastern culture, when Jesus was speaking of this, they understood exactly what he was talking about when he said that there were 10 virgins who went and grabbed their lamps to go to a wedding. See, we don't take lights with us. We don't take a flashlight. We don't take none of that. Why? Because we're going to be in a building, and the bridesmaids are going to be coming up and standing up here. They're going to walk down the aisle, and the bride is going to come to meet the groom. The groom is not going to meet the bride. But yet, if you look at the Jewish traditions and you look at the way that the weddings in the day of Jesus were set up, it's much different. You see, when the man and the woman were engaged to be married, the man started to build a room off of his father's house. And he starts building a wall, and he starts building all the way around, and he starts getting other things encased. And when the wedding feast finally is taking place, they were going to have a celebration at the bride's home, the home of her parents. And the groom would complete that room, and then the groom would go to get his bride. They would have a celebration and have a feast, and then he would take her home with him to his father's house. Oftentimes when he was building that room, if this guy wasn't a good builder, or maybe it was taking him a while to get supplies or whatever he needed, it would be in the middle of the night that last brick would get put up on that wall, and then and only then, once that room was completed, could he go and retrieve his bride, and they could have that celebration and that feast. So it wasn't uncommon for the bridesmaids to be taking torches with them or lights with them, because they knew that it could have been any time in the night that this guy finally finished that room and came for the feast. So that's why it says, let's take a look at it again in Matthew chapter 25, looking at verse number 1, it says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." See, they knew that the bridegroom is away and he's going to be coming to them, and so they have lamps to light his way. But look at verse number 2. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Now, in verse number 3 and 4, it tells us how they were wise and how they were foolish. It tells us the difference. Verse number 3 says, "Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." They had their lamps, they had light, but they didn't have any oil. Verse number 4 says, "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." They were prepared for this guy if he was going to come in the middle of the night, that they had extra oil in vessels in order to keep their lights going. Verse number 5, it says, "But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept." Makes a little bit more sense now. that the bridegroom would be delayed, because he was building that house. Jesus said, I go to my Father, and in my Father's house there are many rooms. Okay, mansions is one way that it says it, but really, if you look at it, he says there are many rooms. Jesus has gone before us to prepare a place for us, and he is delayed in his coming. Now, I want you to notice something about these virgins. All 10 of them were virgins. Okay? All 10 of them were waiting for the bridegroom. All 10 of them got their lamps. All 10 of them went to the house and waited for the bridegroom to come. All 10 of them slumbered and slept. All 10 of them heard the cry that the bridegroom was coming, and all 10 of them got up and started to trim their lamps. I believe that when it speaks of virgins, if you look in the Bible, you'll never find a pure virgin talked about as an unbeliever. So this is talking about the church. In the church, we are called the bride of Christ, and we are said to be presented to him as a chaste virgin, being presented to our Lord, pure and holy, undefiled before him. So this is speaking of the church. It's talking to us today. And look at what it says. It says that when they heard the cry, the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Verse number 9, but the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves. See, the wisdom of the wise comes in their extra preparation. They took some extra time when they were getting ready to make sure that they didn't just have their lamp, but they also had oil to go with their lamp. It took extra work for them to carry that oil with them. It was cumbersome. They had to have this vessel, they had to have this jar, and then they had to have their lamp. And so it took extra time, extra preparation, extra thought, extra care, and extra work. And yet the foolish one thinks only of the immediate need. The foolish one just says, okay, what do I need to go? I'm going to go out and meet the bridegroom. I need a lamp. And they grab the lamp and they run out the door, not giving any thought to the fact that the bridegroom might be delayed. And here we find them all getting ready. And when they awake, when the cry is heard that the bridegroom is coming, the wise ones have oil ready, but the foolish ones don't. All they have is a lamp that's going out. The question here, and I love how Pastor Jim made this statement the other week. He said, do you have God, but does God not have you? Let me say that again. Do you have God, but does God really have you? See, they had a light. The foolish virgins went and they grabbed their light. They had God. They had the light. And yet, the light didn't have them because they weren't prepared. They didn't fill their vessel with oil. They didn't take the extra preparation. They didn't take the extra time. They didn't look ahead. They only looked to their immediate needs. And the Bible says that they were foolish. Now today, I'm not going to tell you how to be foolish. We all know how to be foolish. We got good at being foolish when we were in the world, right? We knew how to be callous. We knew how to be hard-hearted. We knew how to be stubborn and stiff-necked. We knew how to be careless and indignant. We knew how to be self-righteous and self-serving. We know how to be foolish. We did that. And yet the Bible says that all 10 of them slumbered and slept. And so there's a cry that's coming to us today, that we not be foolish, but that we be wise. Today I'm going to give you three things on how to be wise while waiting. We know how to be foolish. Let's learn today how to be wise while we wait for Jesus to come. Are you guys ready? All right, three of you. That's good. Let's try that again. Are you guys ready today? Yes, praise God. Number one is wake up! Wake up from the sleep of laziness, carelessness, and boredom. Remember, in the parable, all 10 of the virgins slumbered and slept. Why? Because the bridegroom was delayed in his coming. And I believe that this speaks of the church today. Whether you consider yourself to be wise or whether you consider yourself to be foolish, it doesn't matter. There is a cry coming from the Spirit of God today that we as the church of the living God, we need to wake up and we need to get ready. We need to be prepared. I'm glad the two of you are getting this right now. But we need to wake up, church. We need to wake up from the sleep of laziness. Listen, I'm not harping on anybody, but this morning, first service was a little thin. You know why? Because the church has gotten lazy in our spiritual disciplines. They woke up and they were like a turtle coming out of their shell. They peeked their head out a little bit, and when they felt it was too cold, man, it's too cold. Thank God the Rock has two more services, a 10 o'clock and a 12 o'clock. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, you know? But we got to wake up from being lazy. A lot of times, the reason why I find that people fail at their walk with God is because they got slack in their disciplines. They stopped reading, they stopped going to church, they stopped praying. They stopped doing the good things that they know to do. They started letting anything go. Christians allowing their kids to do things that they would not allow. And yet, they got lazy. Oh, well, I don't want to have a fight. I don't want to cause any waves. You know what? That's their life. They're going to have to live there. You know what? Listen. It's time that the church stand up, wake up, rouse from our sleep, shake it off, and stop being lazy and be diligent in the Spirit. We got to wake up from the sleep of carelessness. Listen, people are dying and going to hell. We need to be the ones that care enough about them to grab them and say, come on, you're going to church with me today. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about He saved me. Let me tell you about how He restored me, how He picked me up. Let me tell you where He brought me from. Man, I was addicted. I was afflicted. I was in pain. I was broke down, busted, and disgusted. But He grabbed me. He raised me up, and He made me what I am today. We got to care about the lost people in the Inland Empire outside of these walls that are dying. There are people getting beat up. Last night, got beat up. Today they're broken, they're considering suicide. They have no value, they have no worth. And if we as the church don't care about them, let me tell you something, the world does not care about them. The world is not going to restore them. The world will throw money at them, but money does not have the answer. Jesus has the answer. It's time that we wake up. We got to wake up from boredom. Listen. We already said you didn't come to church today to hear from a man or a woman, from the young or the old. I don't care if the lights flicker around and make pretty colors and all that kind of stuff and the smoke comes pouring out of here and everybody thinks the roof is on fire. Doesn't matter what's going on. Listen, if the Spirit of God is in the place, we need to wake up. You are not here to be entertained. This is not about how good the young guy preaches. This is not about how great the music sounds, how the band warms up. I don't care if the bass guitar on the first song should have been ba-dump, ba-dump, dump, dump. You know, who cares about that stuff? If God's on it, man, you better be going. You better be up. You better be ready. I work with the young adults here at The Rock on Friday nights, and a lot of times I can tell who's waiting to be entertained by our band. And they come in and they're like this. And it's like, hello, wake up. Jesus is in the house. Man, God just hit the place. When you lift up your praise, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. Man, if the King is coming in like we sang today, then we need to lift up our hearts and lift up our heads and love and adore God, but don't be found sleeping. I'm going to put a statement up on the board. I want you to think about this. Waiting time is testing time. Waiting time is testing time. One of the pastors gave me a cool little quote from Rick Warren. He said that when the teacher gives a test, he is silent. So if God's not speaking, you're probably going through a test. See, waiting time is testing time. A lot of times we don't realize that when there is a long delay, that is a time of testing in our lives. And if we are found sleeping, we're not going to be ready. We need to be alert. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Listen, if the devil comes up to your bed and you are sleeping, he's going to go, mm. But if you're awake, devil comes knocking, you're going to say, no, I submit to God and I resist you, devil, and you shall flee from me. But if you're sleeping, man, you might as well pour some salt on. Because the devil's going to come and devour you. See, the devil doesn't play fair. He'll find you sleeping there, throw a bag over your head, and start going to town on you. You'll wake up and wonder what happened and start blaming God. And yet God says, I want you to be awake. This waiting time that you're in is a testing time. Let me show this to you in the Word. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Jesus has taken his disciples. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He tells his disciples, I want you to stand here and I want you to watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. Jesus goes a little further and Jesus knows the hour that he's in. Here Jesus is and he says, God, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. He submits himself to the will of the Father. So intense that blood, he's sweating blood. And he comes back and he finds the disciples how? Sleeping. And take a look at what he says to them in Luke chapter 22, verse number 46. Now, usually we read this very casually. I'm going to read you probably how it actually went down. Are you ready for this? Verse number 46, then he, speaking of Jesus, said to them, why do you sleep? Rise, pray, lest you enter into temptation. There is a call from the Spirit of God going out to the church today saying, why do you sleep? Rise up and pray, lest you fall into temptation. God is wanting to rouse the church. I believe the church is the greatest group on the planet right now. It's not the government. It's not the sports stars. It's not the Olympics. Listen to me. The Church of the Living God is the greatest organization on the planet because we have the Spirit of the Living God on the inside of us. But if we're asleep, we are ineffective. So we need to rise up and take our place. We need to pray and watch and be ready. How to be wise while waiting. First thing is wake up from the sleep of laziness, carelessness, and boredom. Second thing is take personal inventory of your life daily. Daily. You got to take inventory of yourself every day, just like those wise virgins. When they grabbed their lamp, they said, hey, what am I going to need for this lamp? I'm going to need some oil. Let me go get some vessels. Let me get prepared. You have to take inventory of your own life daily. This is a personal responsibility. Listen, I can't give you my oil. Just like the wise virgin said, no, unless there be not enough for you and for us. Go yourselves and buy some oil. Go get it yourself. See, you have a responsibility. People always come up to me, Pastor, will you pray for me? Listen, start praying for yourself. I'll pray for you. I don't mind doing that. I'll get in faith with you. But if you're not praying, you're not going to get what you want. My prayers will only go so far in your life. And I will definitely stand in agreement with you and pray with you. But listen, if you're not praying, something's wrong. You got to go get oil for yourself. You got to take inventory of yourself daily. Don't just wait for some preacher to come and regurgitate everything that they've learned on you. You got to get some of this for yourself. Get into your word yourself. Get in the face of God yourself. Find out your destiny yourself. You have a personal responsibility, and you got to take inventory of your life every day. Remember, we're talking about waking up, being disciplined, doing what you have to do. What is your supply of oil? Are you about ready to burn out? Are you about done? Are you on your last string? See, they all rose up. They all trimmed their lamps, and they found out we're lacking in this area. But see, they should have done that a long time ago. They should have done that when they were getting ready. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 20, a phenomenal little verse. Turn there with me. Right after the Psalms is Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 21, we're going to take a look at verse number 20. You guys getting something yet? Praise God. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 20 says this. It says, there is desirable treasure. Look at this. And oil. Where's it at? In the dwelling of the wise. See, if you're a wise virgin, there is desirable treasure and oil because you took the daily inventory and you made sure that you were prepared. But look at the next part of the verse. But a foolish man squanders it. See, the foolish thought only of their immediate needs. They just said, you know what, we're going to the wedding, we need the lamp. They grabbed the lamp, but the foolish man squanders it. They let their lamp burn all the way through their sleeping and slumbering time. And then here they are when the bridegroom's coming, they're not prepared. But there is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise. Listen to this. Good intentions combined with thoughtless neglect and careless indifference make for an unprepared person. I'm going to say that again. Good intentions combined with thoughtless neglect And careless indifference make for an unprepared person. Think about it this way. All these virgins, they all had good intentions. They were all going to the wedding feast. They all knew that they were going to go out and meet the bride. They all had the good intentions. They grabbed their lamp. They knew what to do. But with that thoughtless neglect and careless indifference, they weren't prepared for his coming. Now, here's another thought on another page. Those foolish virgins, if they would have woke up and went and bought oil, they would have been ready for his coming, right? See, if you take personal inventory, when the foolish ones came up and saw the wise, and they saw that wise with the lamp in one hand and the jar of oil in the other hand, they should have thought and said, something's missing in my life. And rather than be found wanting, go and buy oil for themselves and then be ready at the midnight hour. And yet we find them being foolish, slumbering and sleeping, and when the cry goes out, they're not ready. We need to be wise. How to be wise while waiting? Number one is wake up from the sleep of laziness, carelessness, and boredom. Number two is take personal inventory of your life daily. Number three is fill yourself, your vessel, with the oil of God. Now, I don't want to tell you what to do without telling you how to do it. God never leaves us there. God doesn't just say, I want you to live this life in Jesus Christ and then not tell us how to do it. God will always give us what to do, yes, but God's also going to give you the how-tos so that when you get out there, you know what you're doing. You know where you're going. So that you're not just out there wondering if you're ever going to make it. God's not saying, I hope they find out. I hope they do. No, God is saying, this is how you do it, child. This is what you got to do. You want some oil? Let me tell you how to get some oil. You want to fill your vessel? This is how. Listen, Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness. When you have oil, there is gladness. If you have no oil, there is sadness. Let's not be a church that when the cry goes out that the bridegroom is coming and we find ourselves lacking, that we go and the door is shut in our faces and we're pounding on the door saying, let us in too. And yet he says, away from me, I never knew you. No, we're going to be ready. We're going to be the ones that are prepared. You know what? Even if you were foolish in this place and you realized it this morning, hey, be of good cheer. Because this morning, God wants to drop in your heart how to be wise, how to wake up from that sleep and that slumber, how to take that inventory, and then how to be filled with the oil of God. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to take a look at verse number 13 through 18. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse number 13, says this. It says, but all things are exposed, are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. See, the Bible tells us not to walk in darkness anymore, but to be children of the light. We have our lamps, and we have our lamps burning. Verse number 14, therefore he says, awake you who sleep. Do you think God's trying to tell us something today? Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. That's why the wise virgin says, no, go for yourself. If we wake up from our sleep and our slumber and we go to Jesus Christ, he will give us the oil that we need. He will give us light. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly or carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. See, even if you were slumbering and sleeping and you woke up today, the Bible says, redeem the time. Go and make sure that you make a proper use of the time that you have while you're here on earth. Verse 17, therefore, do not be unwise. God is repeating himself to get our attention today. But understand what the will of the Lord is. Many times people come to me and say, Pastor, I just want to know what the will of God is for my life. I want to find out what God has for me. Listen, the Bible tells you what the will of the Lord is for your life. God gives it to you. He says, this is my will for you. This is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to be involved in life. This is what I need from you. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. God's will for your life is for you to be filled with the Spirit. Now in the Bible, the Spirit of God is represented as the oil, the anointing oil. Kings and priests were anointed with oil in the Old Testament. The Bible tells us that we are now a nation of kings and priests made holy unto God, a special people for God. And he has anointed us. He has given us the oil of God. And so he says, be filled with the Spirit. That word be filled really means to be being filled. It's a continuous process. where you go to Jesus and he gives you the oil each and every day that you need to burn your light bright. Jesus wants to fill you with that oil. The Bible says that he gives without measure to those who ask of him. And so let's find out. I'm going to give you three quick things on how to do this. Remember, I said I'm not just going to tell you what to do without telling you how to do it. This is how to do it. Number one is be taught of the Spirit. Be taught of the Spirit. What does that mean? That means that when you read the Word of God or when you hear the Word of God, the Holy Spirit teaches you. Don't just go and listen to men. Go and listen to God. Pray and ask God, God, come and teach me. Come and speak to me. You know, when we're down on our knees here praying for you guys, praying for us to hear from the Holy Spirit, you pray too. It's okay. God can hear more than one person talking at the same time. Ask God, God, come and teach me. Come and speak to me. And as you do, the Holy Spirit teaches you, illuminates your thinking, reminds you of the Word of God throughout your life. You could be just doing whatever, and you're going to work, or you're doing something, and all of a sudden, a scripture pops up in your spirit. See, that's the oil that God is pouring out on you. God is reminding you of what he has said. John 14, 26, it says, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that Jesus has said to you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says that the anointing which we have received teaches us concerning all things and is true. See, he says, you don't have need of another teacher. He says, you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. So when you read your Bible and you say, boy, I just don't understand. Well, you need to go to God. You need to go get the oil. You need to get the wisdom, get the understanding from the anointing that you have. Be taught of the Spirit. Second thing is to be led of the Spirit in prayer. Pray led by the Spirit. As you pray, the Holy Spirit partners with you in your prayers. See, we don't understand prayer. A lot of times we think we're just talking and God's somewhere off in the great distance and he can hear wherever we're at, what we're saying. But the Bible tells us that when we pray, that if we pray in the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit comes and partners with us in prayer and helps us. Sometimes we don't even know what we should be praying. And that's when the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and just gives utterance, gives groanings that couldn't even be expressed by us. And it makes it into a prayer, and God hears those prayers. And God answers from heaven. See, we don't understand that kind of a thing. And yet the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 26, that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes all you know how to pray is Jesus. Sometimes that's the best prayer that you can ever pray. Because that gives God some faith to work on something. Jesus over my kids. Jesus over my family. Jesus over my husband and wife. Jesus over my job. Jesus over my pocketbook. Hello. Jesus over my boss. Jesus over my relatives. Jesus over my neighborhood. Whatever's going on in your life, partner in prayer. Get the oil of God in your prayers and allow the Holy Spirit to partner with you in your prayers. Sometimes people get funny about speaking in tongues. They think that it's some weird, you know, whatever, that kind of a thing. Listen, what it is, yeah, you're speaking something. You have a prayer language, but the Holy Spirit of God partners up with your mouth and turns those gibberish words that you don't understand and nobody else understands and makes that into your prayer language, and it makes it acceptable to God. See, people don't understand praying in the Spirit. You got to do something, but you're partnering with the Holy Spirit. The oil of God, the anointing of God, taking your prayers and making sense of them to God. Final thing is live or walk in the Spirit. As you live out your life in the Spirit, you overcome the desires and weaknesses of the flesh. See, if you try and do this in your own power, you're not going to do it. Remember, you're going to fall asleep and fall victim to temptation. But if you partner up with the Spirit in life, live out your life, walk out your life in the Spirit of God, you are going to overcome. I like how Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, it says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you want to overcome in every area of your life, walk in the Spirit. Allow the Spirit of God. Go to Jesus Christ and allow the Spirit of God to live out his life in and through you. Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. See, as you go to Jesus Christ, he will fill your vessel with oil. Allow yourself to be taught of the Holy Spirit. Allow yourself to pray led by the Spirit and allow yourself to live or walk in the Spirit. That's how you fill yourself, your vessel, with the oil of God. I want to make one final statement to you. As you draw from the oil that comes from personal preparation. You will meet God at the moment of your personal destiny. Just let it simmer. As you draw from the oil of personal preparation, remember those five wise virgins at the midnight hour when the cry was heard, they got up and they filled their vessels with oil and they had lights burning. As you draw from the oil of personal preparation, you will meet up with God. The bridegroom will come and you will go into the feast. You will meet God at the moment of your personal destiny. A lot of times people wonder why they miss God. It's because they were sleeping. They were unprepared. And when the cry was heard for their personal destiny, they woke up and they had no supply of oil. Listen, church, we need to wake up. Wake up from carelessness, boredom, indifference, apathy. Wake up. Let's shake ourselves. We need to take inventory of our lives each and every day and make sure that we have what we need. And then finally, we need to fill our vessel with the oil of God. If you got something from the Lord today, come on, let's give Him a great big praise. Hallelujah. Woo! So good, so good.